Now, let's focus our attention on a story that never quite gets resolved. The Enyobeni Tavern tragedy. It claimed the lives of 21 students in the area of Scenery Park in Buffalo City, East London, in July 2022. We approach the second anniversary of this with at least some clarity now, this after the South African Human Rights Commission have issued their report on the tragedy and suggested who should be held accountable for what happened there. So let's welcome 2702 Drive Provincial Manager in the Eastern Cape for the SAHRC, Dr. Eileen Carter. Welcome and thanks for your time.
Afternoon, John. Afternoon to the listeners.
So could you briefly set out for us, what was the framework of your investigation? Were you trying to answer all questions or did you have specific ones in mind?
Thank you, John. I think what we must understand is the mandate of the Human Rights Commission.
Right.
Ours was not to find criminal or civil liability. You would note that the inquest is still pending. You would note that there was a criminal investigation in terms of the Liquor Act, and you will also know that there are current civil litigation pending against some of these stakeholders. So ours was to look at these issues from a systemic point of view. Where have we failed and what needs to be strengthened so that we prevent a similar occurrence in the future?
So let's get into some of the findings then. I mean, you took a close look at the way in which people apply for liquor licenses, the way people get liquor licenses, the way people conduct those businesses once they're legally able to operate, and the way the authorities act when there are breaches of the laws and regulations. It seems from what I've heard and read that you found severe weakness at every single stage of those four processes.
Unfortunately, yes. We have had to look at the conduct of the Eastern Cape Liquor Board, the Buffalo City Metro Municipality, SAPS, as well as other stakeholders who were indirectly implicated through what we call their omission to prioritize, for instance, improving legislation, which their own policy documents in actual fact urged them to do. So we pointed out that there are certainly areas that need improvement. And we also point out that had these improvements been in place, had these stakeholders been in compliance with the law, perhaps we would have mitigated the risk that these 21 youths were exposed to. Now, one of those areas, John, you were referring to applying for a liquor license, for instance. We have grave concerns in respect of the process that is applicable here. And we also point out in our report that there seems to be a disjuncture between these stakeholders when it comes to the rollout of these frameworks. So, for instance, community consultations, there's some gaps there in terms of the zoning. The capacity, John, for us was a glaring concern.
Capacity where and to do what, if I could just jump in there?
Yes, John, in terms of the Eastern Cape Liquor Board, so the information that was provided to us indicated that the Eastern Cape Liquor Board at the time of this tragedy only had one inspector available for 470 liquor license outlets. Now, their duty in terms of their mandate is that they must enforce and monitor compliance. And ours is to say that it is simply impossible and irreconcilable with their duties that one can only have one inspector for that number of taverns.
Can I ask you this? I mean, did you, in examining the absurdity of what you've just told us, an absurdity with tragic consequences, I should hasten to add, did you look at the ratio between the people in the field, like inspectors, and the people who are in, let's just call it head office? I mean, is the Eastern Cape Liquor Board well-staffed and possibly overstaffed in other areas without spending money on hiring boots that you can put on the ground?
I would not want to speculate on that specifically, John, but what I can tell you is that as per the Eastern Cape Liquor Board's own APP of 2022-23, they indicated that 16 inspectors must enforce compliance by over 7,500 liquor license outlets. Now, when we did our little bit of a mathematic exercise, it means that if they wanted to monitor these outlets, it means that each inspector needed to do 93 outlets a day. So that's irrational. And we need to realize, and they themselves realize, that they are undercapacitated. And that's why we made a very clear recommendation in that respect.
I want to ask you then about the South African Police Service, because when there are breaches of licensing conditions, when underage people are being served, when taverns are filled with dangerous numbers of people, and all of those things, did the police act first of all? And if they did, were they either hamstrung by the law, or were they hamstrung because they just simply weren't determined enough to bring this to an end?
So the South African Police Service in the area were certainly aware of complaints regarding the Enyobeni Tavern.
Right.
They indicated to us that these complaints, however, did not include underage drinking. But we know that after the criminal matter concluded recently against the tavern owners, that underage drinking was found at the tavern specifically. So perhaps we need to ask questions in terms of how far the investigations do go. But ours was to point out that they were aware of community complaints, and they opted their engagements with the owners of the tavern to resolve concerns through meetings rather than enforcing. So one of the indications for us that was quite concerning was that the tavern owners referred them to the fact that, in fact, BCM was to enforce bylaws and not SAPS. So these are the types of gaps that we need to now come to the table and see how can we best resolve and fill these gaps to prevent a similar occurrence.
I know that there are criminal matters in process, civil litigation underway, but in the course of your investigations, did people step forward and want to engage with you on the causes of the tragedy that left these 21 young people dead? And I ask you that not because I'm asking you to tell me what they said, but did you get a sense that people felt they weren't being heard in those other investigative processes that are meant to determine that all too crucial issue?
So one of the things that we also made a finding on is the Department of Health. We indicated, and as you would know, the inquest hasn't started yet. It has been a lengthy process. You've indicated right at the outset that this process seems to be, ever ongoing.
Yes.
Now, that's one of the findings that we make, that such a process that is prolonging this suffering of the parents surely impact on their dignity. And that the lack of information that has been forthcoming specifically from the Department of Health in terms of the causes of death shows its slow progress, and the processes specifically are slow. So those need to be improved, because the parents, we invited them this morning, and we first and foremost introduced the report to them out of respect for the process that they have gone through. And they are very much still feeling very concerned about the process that has unfolded, because they are still without the forensic evidence and the exact cause of death, whereas the commission on the other side were looking at the systemic cause.
And just finally, would it be fair for me and the listeners, Dr. Carter, to conclude that if the systemic problems are as bad as your report outlines, that none of this has really been addressed, and therefore, while we may not have a tragedy on this scale, the other problems that are complementary of those that caused the tragedy will continue, because whatever you've described is what the situation looks like right now?
Not necessarily, John.
Okay.
We have made recommendations which reflect on already existing parameters that just need to be strengthened and followed through with. So for instance, one of these parameters is what they call the Local Drug Action Committee. Now, the Substance Abuse Act already calls for each and every municipality to have this committee. But unfortunately, during our investigation, we found that Buffalo City did not have in place this committee. In fact, only 16 out of the almost 40 municipalities in the province have these committees in place. Now, I would request listeners to go to their local municipalities and find out who is on this committee and, in fact, if this committee is operational, because it's already catered for in legislation. Similarly, we've got beautiful policies in place in our country. We've got draft legislation that has been pending since 2016, the National Liquor Amendment Bill. And that Liquor Amendment Bill sets out parameters that perhaps are going to protect our youth and our vulnerable communities from a similar occurrence. Now, what we are saying as the Commission is that those responsible entities, the trade and industry, DSD, must come together and fast-track the tabling or perhaps the retabling of these bills to ensure that we fast-track them, and we get them signed, and we implement strategies that close these gaps that we have pointed out in our report.
Thanks so much, Dr. Eileen Carter, Provincial Manager down in the Eastern Cape for the South African Human Rights Commission. Their report on the Enyobeni Tavern tragedy that claimed 21 lives in July 2022. That has come out today. You may have some views on how you think these kinds of legislative arrangements, liquor boards and so on, how they operate in the area where you live. If you'd like to weigh in on that, is this a national problem, a tragedy waiting to happen in other metros and other provinces? Give us your view on 011-883-0702 and 072-702-1702.